John chapter 4. On Sunday evenings, as you know, in the month primarily of February, can you believe we're already at the end? Man, time's already flying, ain't it? And we've been looking at the characters that surrounded Jesus Christ. He had a lot of characters that entered his life, came around. I mentioned a few folks that I've had to encounter in my life and the privilege of that. And so there's a lot of characters all around us. I saw a guy just the other day. I was in town driving and he was standing on the side of the road. I don't know if you've seen the guy, but he's apparently a homeless guy, but he's wearing a clown red, you know, ball like the clowns wear. He has one of those on. I thought that was pretty clever. Have you seen that guy? I think he's on Eubank somewhere. I thought that was pretty clever, but I didn't give him any money. I probably should have. But that's pretty good. Or the other guy that says, I ain't going to lie. I just need a brew or a beer or something. That's not good. But I thought those were kind of clever. And you think about, there's some characters out there. And then you go into the side inside of the church, and boy, there's some characters. None of you folks. You're good people. I love all of you. You're saying to Brother Tim, you're the worst of us here. I know that. With the characters we see all around us. John chapter 4, and we're going to see tonight as we continue this, there's a wonderful encounter here that Jesus has with a lady. Now notice, we'll get here, verse number 4, let's start there. He says he must needs go through Samaria, coming to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus therefore, being wearied with his journey, he sat thus on the well, and was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For the disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest me of a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thine husband, and that sayest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. You say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, we'll continue in a minute, but that's a rather lengthy portion of Scripture, but we get the context here of the encounter that Jesus Christ has with this lady. Very fascinating to study and look at. If I could emphasize tonight, the way that Jesus Christ approached another person about, really, salvation. I know that for me, it can be intimidating, and I know for you it can be, to really share our faith with other people. And maybe you're not very forward in the fact of that you can take and hand somebody one of our invitation cards and then flip it over and tell them how to get saved or what the gospel is. And you may not be that maybe forward or experienced in that. But sometimes you may just hand someone an invitation, whatever the case would be, or you're praying for somebody to get saved, et cetera, et cetera. But we see here the great example that Jesus leaves us in reaching other people. Very fascinating. Now, as we look at this character tonight, she truly is a character. Boy, we're going to see this in a minute here. But notice, first of all, the intentional route. The intentional route. It says in verse 4, he must needs go through Samaria. He must needs go through. Notice, it's already an intentional decision. Jesus says, I have to go through this area. Now, you understand, if you don't, the Jews had nothing to do with Samaria. They would actually go all the way around this little city to get back up into Galilee. And from Galilee, they'd come all the way back around and come back down into Jerusalem. Some of them would pass straight through Samaria, but they didn't like to do that because they had no dealings, as she said, with the Samaritans. But Jesus said, I'm going to go through Samaria. His apostles or his disciples actually thought of that as being crazy. You know, why would you do that? Jesus made it an effort to go through and to come to the city of Sychar in order to what? So he could get a drink of water? No. So he could have a divine encounter with this lady. Notice the intentional act or the intentional route. Notice the initiated conversation, verse number 7. The initiated conversation. There cometh a woman of Samaria, verse 7, to draw water. Jesus saith to her, give me to drink. Give me to drink. Now, we think of that being a little bit rude, maybe. Give me something to drink. He didn't, as it's written in English, it's a little forward, but you know that. In Hebrew especially, or in Greek, you understand that it's not that forward as he said it. But he says, give me something to drink. Can I have something to drink? And she makes the reference again, how do you ask me of something to drink? Now, isn't this funny to me, I guess I could say, she points the finger to Jesus as being prejudiced. He didn't say anything, when in fact she's the one being prejudiced. Verse 9, you have no dealings with us. You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. People do that today, don't they? They prejudge you. They point the finger at you, maybe not because of your skin color, but you know what I'm saying. In other areas, they prejudge you before you can even say anything. You're prejudiced. I didn't even say anything. I'm not being prejudiced. You're being prejudiced, claiming I'm being prejudiced, and I have not said a thing. And just because of that. Now, here's a good little side note here. Jesus was not, how do I put this not kindly? He did not look like the paintings that they portrayed Jesus as. Okay, you all understand that. But the Catholics particularly painted Jesus in those middle centuries. I don't know if Rembrandt, who did? Somebody did a real famous picture. I don't know. Anyways, painted a picture of Jesus. He was a white guy with long, nice, light-colored hair and blue eyes. That was not Jesus Christ, okay? She, just by his appearance, saw him and said, you're a Jew. He had the appearance of that Middle Eastern Jewish look. You know that. I just say that because there's a lot of people out there that push this idea, this image of Jesus Christ. It's not true. Now, we understand here that he comes and she says, you want nothing to do with me. Jesus said, I didn't say that. Jesus says in verse 10, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked him of him and he would have given thee living water. You would have asked of him the spiritual and not the physical if you knew who it was speaking to you. You know, a lot of people don't even know who's speaking. As the Lord works, especially let me say to us as believers or Christians, as Jesus speaks to us, the Holy Spirit speaks, we don't even know who's speaking. We're deaf to that. We're deaf to that. Jesus says, take heed thereto. We said that this morning in Psalm 119. He says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto. Heed means to stop and listen. That's what it means, to stop and listen. And sometimes, if we're not careful, Jesus said, if you knew who it was that was speaking to you, you would ask for the spiritual, not the physical. We must be very careful about that. If you're like me, again, I'll use myself as an example, that I ask for the physical. Lord, give me. Lord, bless me. Lord, provide. Lord, nothing wrong with that. That's what he wants us to pray. That's what he wants us to ask. Ye have not because ye ask not. But if we're not careful, that's all we pray. We don't pray for the spiritual. Lord, fill me with your spirit. Lord, help us. I want to do thy will. God, give me opportunity to share the gospel. Lead me. Speak to my heart through thy word. On and on we go. You understand. The woman said, verse 11, there was nothing to draw with. The well is deep. Now, she's speaking, obviously, of the practical. Well, if you wanted to draw water, you should have brought something to draw with. Now, you would say, boy, she's not very smart. Well, she is smart. She's being rather sarcastic, just as Nicodemus did in the chapter prior in John chapter 3. Nicodemus said, should I enter in again a second time into my mother's womb and be born? When Jesus said born again, the first reference there in the Bible of being born again, that means regenerated, reborn. Do I enter a second time into my mother's womb? Well, he's not being don't say that word. He's not being silly. What is he saying? He's being sarcastic. He's a ruler. He's a spiritual man. He knows the scriptures quite well. He's being sarcastic. Now, this woman has a little tongue-in-cheek kind of reaction to Jesus and what he's saying. We see the intentional route. We see the initiated conversation. But notice the indignation, if you will. Who are you to tell me? Who are you? You would think, first and foremost, this lady's downright rude. In verse 9, she's just rude. He's just a man sitting on the well. You understand the well is a circular thing, you know. And I don't know, some were, 2 to 3 feet high. Others were a little higher than that. And he's just sitting there on the well. He's tired. He's hot. He's sweating. Obviously, he just asked, can I have a drink? He didn't say, can I have the whole bucket? Can I just have a sip? They had a large ladle, and they took that out and they would sip from it. That's all he wanted. And what does she respond? What do you ask me for? You're a Jew. You don't have any dealings with us. You don't have any dealings. By the way, as somebody slams the door in your face in your first initial conversation with them about Christ, don't get discouraged and don't quit. You keep going after them. You keep praying for them. You keep going. Especially, that strangers, yeah, that's different. Family, though, especially. Keep going with them. Keep at it. You may be careful about bothering them and getting on their backs all the time and irritating them, but pray for them, especially intercessory prayer. That's praying on their behalf. And you consistently work there and let them know, hey, son, if you ever want to talk, I'm here. Daughter, granddaughter, mom, dad, brother, sister, if you ever want to, I'm here. I want you to know that. I'm a Christian and I follow Jesus Christ and I want you to know the truth as well. Notice the door was slammed immediately. Downright rude. You have no dealings with us. Jesus says again, notice he points to the spiritual. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, she says? Art thou greater than him? Now, the answer to that is absolutely yes. Jesus reminds those naysayers later on, in particular chapter 10, what's he say? He says, before Abraham was, I am. Again, a play on words as we talked about. I am, meaning I am the I am. And I am here. That's me standing in front of you. He says, I am. And the answer to that is absolutely yes, but he doesn't respond in that way. Jesus answered verse 13, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Now the physical. You thirst, you drink of this water, you're going to thirst again. Lady, you're going to come back every single day to draw water. You're going to come back every single time to draw from this well. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Never? Never. You see, when you come into relationship with Jesus Christ, when you get saved, you never thirst for anything else. You don't go and thirst after other gods. Why? Because you found the answer. You have quenched your thirst eternally, forever. Could you imagine that? Have you ever been so thirsty before? Yes, we all have. So stinking thirsty, you'll take anything. But you don't want a Dr. Pepper. I know I said that. I'm sorry. That's hard to say. But what do you want? You want water. Thirsty, man. I mean, just thirsty. You've been so thirsty before. And you've ran miles or you've done something. You've hiked a mountain. You've rode a motorcycle. You've played basketball. So you want some water. And the coaches, our coaches growing up, they used to give us oranges and water. And I hated that. I said, why do we got to eat oranges? They said, well, it's good for you. It's going to help keep the cramps down and this and that. I thought, that's terrible. And here's some water. As a kid, I didn't want water. I wanted soda pop or something else. But here's the water. Why? Because that's what my body needs. That's what my body wants. Now, spiritually speaking, yes, our physical wants water. But listen, our spiritual needs, that which only Jesus can provide. Amen and amen. The water I shall give him. Notice this. Not the water that he takes. The water he gives him shall be in him a well of water springing up in everlasting life. Not only does it satiate your thirst or satisfy your thirst. Notice what it does. It springs up within him. He's a natural spring as a human being. Now that you know Jesus Christ. And people come and say, boy, something different about Miss Wilma. There's something springing up in her. You ever been to a natural spring before? Oh, aren't those wonderful? Oh, they're wonderful. have been to a few of them. And some of them are hotter than hot, man. They are hot, coming out of the middle of the earth, aren't they? They're very relaxing. But it's a spring, springing up. An old Jedediah, what's the guy's name, went out to the field one day and shot at a rabbit. And up came the oil and he became filthy rich. You guys know that. I can't recall. Beverly Hillbillies, right? Okay. There's a spring that springs up, and you understand that. Not only is your thirst satisfied, but now you are one of a well, man. You're springing up into everlasting life. Now you see that. And the woman says, sir, give me this. Give me this. That I what? Thirst not. Neither come hither to draw. I don't want to do this anymore. Give me something that shortcuts my labor. Give me something. Isn't this what people do? Give me something that answers my problem. Give me something that relieves my pain. Give me something that makes life easier. And that's why they come to Jesus. And that's why a lot of people are duped today, this evening, into thinking they know Christ and they truly don't. Because what do? They come to Him looking for a self or a quick remedy, a quick fix. Lord, fix my problems and fix it to where I don't have to do this anymore. Well, yes, Jesus will do that, but your real need, ma'am, is that you need Jesus Christ to give you that spiritual water. You need Him to satisfy you. You need that in your life. You need to be a well of water springing up that will help other people, and we know that. The woman said, give me. And Jesus says, go call thy husband and come hither. Go call thy husband. Come hither. Woman answered and said, I have no husband. Now notice here, not only the intention, the initiation, indignation, we see the identification, we see the insight, though, that Jesus gives. I have no husband. Thou hast well said, I have no husband. Thou hast had five husbands. He whom thou now hast is not thy husband. Sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. Much more than a prophet, ma'am. You understand the insight given by Jesus Christ, and Jesus wants to work in the lives. And if we will present this gospel to people, we can let Jesus Christ do the work. Really, the Holy Spirit does the work. We, again, are just, I'm speaking on the human aspect, we are just the conduits through which Jesus speaks. We are just the tools through which Jesus uses, or works, we could say. And oh, that ought to be our prayer, that Lord, you would use me as you see fit. I want to be your vessel through which you can speak, through which you can use, as we saw in the book of 2 Timothy, that there are vessels in the house, there are vessels that are to be used. And Jesus says that we ought to be that vessel he can use. But notice, he has the insight. He will get to the heart of the matter. He will get to the problem. He will work. As we said this morning, the word of God, it pierces through, doesn't it? Pierces through. The insight. We come down, God is a spirit. We read that. The woman says, verse 25, let's continue. I know that Messiah cometh, who is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Now, very clear in Scripture, Jesus repeatedly, he never hides who he is. They come and they present him before Pontius Pilate at the end of his trial. And he basically asked him, if you are the Christ, tell me that. Jesus said, I just did. If you're the Christ, tell us. Now, Jesus remains silent after several questions and going back and forth with Pilate. He remains silent. But he, in essence, says, and he says this at one point, ask the people who I am. He said, I've not hidden it from anybody. I spoke openly to all people and told them who I am. Jesus never hid who he was. He tells a woman at the well, I am he. Who is he? See, she was right there. You know, a lot of people are right there. We talk to some folks and we share the gospel with them. I've talked to people, shared the gospel. Do you know they're almost right there? They know who Jesus is. They know the Bible. They have a sense of a truth about them, but they often will go awry near right at the end. And they'll say, I know that there's truth and I know there's wrong. I know that I'm a sinner. I know that God will punish that. But I truly believe that when I die, my good will outweigh my bad and God will let me into some kind of paradise. I mean, that's the gist of what they say. So they're right there. This lady knew, notice, I know that Messiah cometh. I know there's a Messiah coming, which is called Christ. When he's come, he'll tell us all things. But not you. When he comes, he'll tell us all things. When he comes. And you know, people wait until that very moment. People wait until the very end. What are you going to do when you, or where are you going to go when you die? Well, when it gets to that point, I'll decide. I'll figure that out. You go, that's not smart. That's not smart. When I have a flat tire, I'll deal with it then. That's not smart, right? When I have a blowout, by the way, I may be calling some of you about halfway down, halfway on our trip. No, I'm kidding. But sometimes we think that way, isn't it? We wait till we get there. And he says, no, I'm speaking to you now. Now, notice this, there's a limited time. Because Jesus in just a minute is going to get up and leave. And Jesus gives us limited time. It fascinates me that in the scriptures, the God of eternity, eternality basically means no time. There's no time. The God of eternity puts time on his human beings, on the people he created, doesn't he? Everything's about time. You study time. Your whole life is about time. Everything you do is about time. What time you get up? What time you go to bed? What time do you work? How long did you work? How long did you do schooling? How long will I live? Everything's about time. And so it behooves us and it helps us, as Paul says, now's the accepted time. Now's the day of salvation. Now is the time to break up your fallow ground and serve or seek the Lord. Time. Limited time. My friends, we're living in a time right now that's very limited. You know this. We're living in a time, I believe, we're right on the very edge of the end time. I believe we're right there. And you know that. Not only that, but let's think more practically, if you will, that you and I don't have a lot of time left. You say, well, I still have half my life to live. Yeah, you do. But still, that goes by so quickly, doesn't it? Our kids think about, boy, they were saying the other day, boy, I remember when I was 5. I remember when I was 3. Time flies so fast, and as you get older and older, you know that. You could tell me that time flies even faster. We don't have a lot of time. And Jesus said, while I'm here on the well, you better figure some things out. Oh, and I'm so glad she did. Notice verse 27, and upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Now again, notice this, as we said last week, the people around you that are supposed to be spiritual encouragers will sometimes be the discouragement. The people in your church that are supposed to be behind you and get your back will be the ones that criticize you when they get home. The people that will be behind you are supposed to be there to help you and help you to reach other people for Christ. They're going to criticize and say, well, why do we do it that way? Well, what way do you do? What do we do? And notice, marvel that he talked with a woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou or why talkest thou with her? They knew their place. I ain't going to say nothing. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men. Now, this is very, very pointed here. Don't miss this. The woman left her water pot. The woman left the physical. The woman left the thing that was hindering her from getting to know Christ, from receiving Christ. It was that water pot. She said, you have nothing to draw with. You have nothing there to take up this water. And Jesus corrected her and said, you're talking about the physical. I'm talking about the spiritual. And she left the water pot, that which hindered her, and went, notice this, and told, went into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Did Jesus do that? No. He told her her life, her private life, the husbands she's had. But he didn't tell her whole life. But to her, that's what it was. To her, that's what it meant. To her, that's how she saw it. Come see a man. Is not this the Christ? Is not this the Messiah? Then they went out of the city and came to him. Came to him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed, saying, Master, eat. They went and got food. He said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. I have meat to eat that ye know not of. That ought to be something that fills our bellies, fills our soul more than just that of the physical. There's ought to be something more than that, that fills them. And as you share the gospel and reach people, they do things to fill the belly. They do things to fill the physical. And that's all they know. They wake up to fill the physical. They wake up to do the pleasureful. They do all of that for him. And Jesus says, I have meat to eat you know not of. I have that spiritual meat. I have something that has happened and I'm so thankful for. And therefore, notice verse 33, said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought aught to eat? Again, the disciples were a little bit behind the curve, as usual. Has anyone brought you something to eat? Jesus say, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish the work. To finish the work. Jesus always finishes. There is never a thing that he does not finish. Jesus never does anything half-hearted, half-full, lackluster, apathetic. Everything Jesus does is full and complete. And he said on the cross, it is finished. I do always those things that please him. I came to do the will of my Father. I want to please him. As I said again, but the man of Enoch, he had a four-word testimony that he pleased God. That's his goal and that's what he did. But he says, I came to do it and to finish his work. Doing it. Notice, say not ye there yet 4 months. And then come with harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white already to harvest. Listen, the darker the night, the brighter the light. The worse the world gets, the more opportunities we have to share the gospel. Well, it's not like it was before. Yeah, but the gospel still works. It's not like it used to be back in the 60s. Yeah, sure, but the church still works. God is still on the throne. The Bible's still a living book. We know that. We keep going. The mandate's the same. The commission's the same. The fields are white, already to harvest. And he that reapeth, verse 36, receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit into eternal life, that both he that soweth, he that reapeth, may rejoice together. Notice that there's one that sows, there's one that reaps. You may sow the seed and not see someone saved, and someone may come along after and reap that fruit. Some guy gave me a tract one time. Did you ever see him again? Never saw him again. But you came and clarified that to me. Thank you. There's going to be people that you're going to meet in heaven one day that you never met before. They're going to say, because of you, I have no idea who you are. Well, you don't know this, but I used to live next to you over in Edgewood. And I watched you. And I observed your life. And I observed your marriage and your kids. And I watched you go to church every single Sunday and every Wednesday. There's going to be people you meet that you never knew. But you sowed a seed and maybe somebody else reaped. But notice what he says, that they may rejoice together. And we're not going to have jealousy in heaven, praise God for that. Animosity in heaven, praise God for that. We're going to rejoice. Pastor so-and-so, I've never met you before, but praise God. Hey, this guy just told me that because of something, a track I left or invited him to church, he went to your church out in Timbuktu somewhere and you led him to the Lord. Praise God. They'll be rejoicing in that, won't it? And verse 37, herein is that saying true, one soweth, another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Again, we know that. But the apostles are the ones that are talked about in Scripture. The apostles are the ones that get a lot of the glory and praise. There are thousands of people that are never mentioned in the New Testament that did a lot for Jesus Christ and with Christ. There are a lot of people that God used, the Lord used to reach other people. He sent them out two by two, and he reached many folks that came. The end of this Gospel of John says there are so many things that Jesus did, we could not write them all down. A lot of things that happen. Are you looking for the name? Or are you doing it for him? Now let's wrap it up here. Verse 39. I love this part. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying, notice, of the woman, which testified. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Isn't that fascinating? And they said, came because of the woman's word. And then when they truly met the Savior, they say, now we know. It's you. But it starts with this woman. This name is never given. There's never a name given to this lady. She's just a woman at the well. Just a man, just a woman, just a child that did something and impacted an entire people, an entire group of people, an entire nationality of people. And she came and simply told them what Jesus did. Isn't that a wonderful truth of the gospel? It's simply telling others what Jesus did for you. That's all it is. I was living a life of this and that, and Jesus came. Somebody invited me to church, and I heard the gospel for the first time, and I got saved. Praise God. Simple. Paul, best tactic that he used was simply relaying what God did for him. Robert Murray McShane is a man that died at the age of 29 years old. He was a pastor primarily in the Scottish area, Scotland and over in that area. Died at the age of 29. But as he entered, he was such a spiritual man that as he would pray during the evening into the late hours of the night, he would walk out of that little parish, that little sanctuary, and all the drunkards that were standing outside of all the taverns, half drunk, sick in the streets, would all take their hats off and put it on their chests and said, "There goes the man that prays for our soul. There goes the man that prays for our soul." That breaks my heart when I think about that. But they knew, the drunkards knew, who was the real Christian. They knew who the real one was. They knew who the guy that prayed for the wretched souls. They knew who the fakes and frauds were. And they knew who the real one was. Do people know who you are? And it's simply a woman like this coming and saying, "Come see or hear a man that told me ever I did." Is not this the Christ? Is not this the Christ? They didn't debate about it. They said, "Well, let's go hear him." There'll be some that reject you, yeah, but there'll be a lot more that hear you. You may not see a lot of people saved, but at least you made an effort. I don't know how many of those drunkards that Mr. McShane ever saw saved, but they knew that he prayed for them, and they stood before Christ one day and they had no excuse. And they knew he prayed. They knew he loved them. They knew that. I'm saying today there's people, do they know that you love them? Do they know that you're concerned about their salvation and their soul? Now, we'll wrap it up there. But I love this story. Many more believed because of his own word. Hey, folks, can I encourage you just to point people to Christ? You may not have all the answers. Some of you are just now learning. Some of you are maybe newer, getting into the Scriptures, into the Bible. Others of you are seasoned in the Scriptures. You've been in church all of your life. But simply come back to this. You're just pointing people to Christ. You're pointing others to the answer. You're pointing others to the truth. You may have pointed others the opposite direction at one time in your life. You may have introduced people to drugs and alcohol one time in your life. You may have hurt other people through other things that you've done. How about you now start pointing people to Christ? I don't know what to say, Brother Tim. Just point him to the Scripture. Point him to Christ. Again, that's why we have some of our material. I'd encourage you to take, by the way, you're going on some of you leaving on vacation and such. Just take a few of these, put them in your pocket or your purse, and take them and say, "Here, can I give this to you? Let me tell you what Jesus has been doing with me. Let me tell you what Christ has done in our marriage recently. Let me tell you how God has helped me to get away from that and get into the book and help me here and there." I'm just simply saying, we're just a bunch of servants trying to point people to the Master, aren't we? One man put it, just a bunch of beggars telling another beggar where they found bread. And she said, "I found a man who pointed me. I found the one who pointed me to water." Well, that's easy. We all can get water. No, no, no. Water, the spiritual water, that I never thirst again. And those of us tonight that are truly saved, we know that. We never thirsted again. We never want to go after any other God. We never want to go after anything else. Why? We found the answer. It's quenched our thirst just fine. And I pray that you will. I pray that I'd encourage you that you pray about reaching people for Christ. All of us could do better in that, especially myself. But reaching people with the wonderful news that I found water. I found it. And it's in the person and in the work of Jesus Christ. Amen? All right. Well, again, I encourage you as you go your way this week. Make sure you look for opportunities. I know it's hard sometimes to do that. But look for opportunities to just open up a conversation about the Lord and about the Word of God and about the gospel especially. And by the way, if you ask the Lord and you seek for those opportunities will pop up more than you would maybe like, I guess you could say. But you're ready, you're prepared for that. And notice how Jesus dealt with a woman. Simply said, "Hey, can I have something to drink? Can I have something to drink?" Getting into a conversation with this lady, although she was a little rude, although she was a little forward, although she was prejudiced somewhat, Jesus didn't give up. He kept going. Thank God he didn't give up on us, right? He kept going. He kept after us. Praise God for that. But look for opportunities this week. I'd encourage you to do that. And again, take some of our material and reach out to those around you. All right, I'll stop there. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get on our way this evening. Lord, thank you for another opportunity to share your word tonight. And I pray this week to share the gospel. I know it's difficult to see those opportunities. Some of us may not be good at communicating, maybe a little bit more introverted in that area, but Lord, we all can do something. We all can leave a track somewhere, or we can write a letter, we can pass a note, an email or something. Give us strength to do that, Lord. Opportunities sometimes are few and far between, but Lord, they can be more consistent if we'll go out with an eye looking just for that. strengthen us. Thank you for a great example to see in the Word of God and how you dealt with just one of many, many people that you dealt with, but just one example of a lady. Oh, how desperately she needed the gospel. Her life was a mess. She was wretched. And Lord, I thank you so much that we can see that. All of us were at that point at one time. And we thank you for working in our lives to receive the wonderful gospel. Help us, Lord, to share that with others. And again, we love and thank you. Thank you for another day we could have in your house. Bless us this week and keep a watchful, protective hand upon each one of us. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen.